Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to your Fantasy Football Today mailbag. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg, Chris Towers. We have a big special guest for you here to start the show, as we could have some crazy weather this weekend. And we'll bring on a repeat guest, Kevin Roth of Roto Grinders, in just a second. Remember to send your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're also going to read your Apple Podcast questions. And, yeah, do some fantasy cops. Well, Chris and I are dealing with some cold weather up north. Not that bad. Jamie, how's it going in South Florida over there? Just sunning?
It is the most perfect day in the history of days. I don't understand why the two of you guys decided to leave this wonderful weather. But congratulations to you for staying inside for the rest of the next 3 months.
I know why I left. I left for love. I don't know why Chris left, but we'll explore that a little bit later. Kevin Roth, rotogrinders.com, sports meteorologist, is here. Because we're going to have a weather weekend. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. I love a weather weekend. I hate boring weather weeks, and a week like this gets me excited, so I'm good.
So if there was one game, if I just wanted to go and enjoy the best weather, what's the perfect game to go to this week? Is it Giants-Dolphins?
I mean, Giants-Dolphins is tough to beat. You've got plenty of games that are inside, so you know, you're 73 degrees with a roof. That's pretty good, too. But yeah, probably down in South Florida, go hang out with Jamie, and you're good there.
On the other
Kevin
hand,
Adam doesn't know that there are indoor stadiums, so you just inform them of something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I always forget that. On the other hand, if I'm in New York, Western New York, at the Buffalo game on Monday, what could I be expecting?
Yeah, so that's the ugliest. We'll kind of run through what I'm looking at here. There's a handful of games where you could see some rain, but I'm not that worried. Cincinnati, Seattle, you could see some rain, but winds stay relatively light. No major impacts. You get into Chicago, now we're talking rain and probably about a 15 to 20 mile per hour wind. It's going to impact some of those deeper passes. But you mentioned it. The game that really stands out to me and the reason why I'm on the show right now is all because of the Buffalo game. This has looked ugly from the moment I looked at it on Tuesday. It still looks ugly. You're talking about temperatures around freezing, a chance for snow showers. Both of those things, not great, but manageable. But this is the kicker. We're going to see winds here sustained 20 to 25. Wind gusts of 40 miles per hour. That is significant, especially when you're adding it into the cold and the snow showers. It's an ugly, ugly day in Buffalo.
Chris, if I had a free ticket for you to this game, third row, 50-yard line, would you go?
No. There aren't a lot of, like, it would have to be like 75 degrees and sunny for me to want to go to a football game.
That's ridiculous.
There's so much downtime. I'd rather watch it at home. I would miss all of the other games that are going on. Or I guess it's a Monday night game.
Yeah.
Well, that excuse doesn't work, I guess.
No,
but
sorry,
yeah, I am
buddy.
Adding myself as a person who does not really enjoy going to football games.
Ooh, that's I don't know that I want to go in that weather, but all right, Chris, more importantly, are you going to move Josh Allen down in your rankings?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, the quarterback position right now is so iffy that I'm not sure how far I could move him to where I would feel, you know, much better about anyone else. You know, like, I guess, would you rather have Jalen Hurts than him? I don't know right now. He's been, like, since they've made this change to a more run-heavy approach, he's had, what, 3 pretty mediocre games out of 5. So I think it's more just that I don't know where I could move him to where I would feel more confident than anyone else.
He's also a great bad weather quarterback is one thing to note. Like, he's got a huge arm, so he can throw it right through the wind. He's mobile. He can move it with his legs. My issue here isn't so much on his performance. It's that these weather combinations might slow down the game, right? So they're handing the ball off more. just kind of changing the game plan a little bit. And I think that'll hurt both quarterbacks, even though in New England, you've got a guy who's super accurate with short passes. That's great for bad weather. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, you've got a guy who's got the strong arm. I just think the game plans are going to be a little bit different in this weather. And that's why I do think it's going to impact this game some.
And you think Chicago would be the other one to keep an eye on?
Yeah, the winds aren't going to be as strong in Chicago, but it does look likely that we're going to see rain at this point. And then once you get to around that 20-mile-per-hour wind threshold, and I think we'll be close to that in Chicago, that's when, you know, field goals become difficult, longer passes become difficult. So I'm going to be watching that one closely. You can follow me on Twitter, at KevinRothWX, as we get closer to kickoff there. But those are the two that I'm really watching, especially that Monday night game.
Kevin, thank you for swinging by. Great stuff. And remember to go to rotogrinders.com to see more of Kevin's work. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
All right. That's some good information to help us get our lineup set. And we'll take it from there. Thanks again to Kevin Roth. Next Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with early action featuring Justin Herbert leading the Chargers against the Bengals and the Eagles on the road against the Jets. Then one of the hardest hitting rivalries in football is renewed when the Ravens head to Pittsburgh for a meeting with the Steelers. It all begins at noon Eastern with the NFL Today. NFL doubleheader action this Sunday on CBS. You guys want to follow up, Jamie? Any changes that you might make in your rankings with the weather being so bad?
No, I mean, maybe you downgrade, you know, Nick Folk and Tyler Bass, who have been must-start kickers and, you know, two of the best at their position, you know, just knowing that there could be some problems there. But again, you know, do you want to carry two kickers, not wanting to give up on those particular players? Now, obviously, the Patriots have a bye in week 14, so you might just go 2 weeks without Nick Folk or, you know, find a replacement option ahead of time. But I think I always go back to, because I'm old, but Dan Marino once said, famously, I could throw it in a hurricane. And when you get quarterbacks like that, and Josh Allen has that type of arm that, as Kevin alluded to, you know, he can throw it in bad weather. He's not going to have as much success, obviously, as he would in good weather scenarios. Snow on the ground and slippery situations sometimes favors the offensive guys mm-hmm. in a big way because they know where they're going.
Yep.
The defensive players don't know where they're going. So, you know, you get a lot of busts based on, you know, a slant route can turn into an 80-yard touchdown, and those are good situations. So I think you still look at Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs as must-start guys. But really, if the weather was perfect, these might be the only must-start guys anyway. So
yeah, who else would you be starting?
I don't know if this changes a lot of how you approach this game.
I think the kickers are actually really interesting. They're two – they're kickers, but they're two must-start kickers.
Yep.
Two of the best. This is horrible, potentially, for them. So I don't know. I don't
Folk
know
is easier to get away from because you have next week – you know, if you're thinking at it, you know, from a strategic standpoint, which is always fun for kickers. But I think if you think, okay, I want Nick Folk for the stretch run of my fantasy league. Once we get to going into week 15, you probably have, I'm going to say, a third of the league is not paying attention to waiver moves anymore because they're out of it. And then you're competing with, you know, maybe half the league to try and get him back. So
he's
you can
good.
Have an easier time to get it.
He's so far ahead of everybody else. I mean, Nick Folk has been. I know we don't usually talk about kickers, but Nick Folk has been by far the best kicker in fantasy. Can you put him on your bench for 2 weeks? Fantasy managers, you will have to make that decision.
With how many injuries there are right now, especially around, like, could you really, I don't know. Maybe there are a handful of leagues where I could justify it. Maybe I've got a Jacoby Myers who I probably won't want to start in the playoffs or something, taking up a roster spot, but yeah, the idea of keeping a kicker that I'm not going to start on my bench for 2 weeks, I'd be fine dropping Nick Folk.
Okay, Kyler Murray is going to be a game day decision, which I guess would be better than a game time decision.
He's
1 o'clock game, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was practicing. I think didn't he get a full practice or at least a limited practice in?
No, only limited.
He was also, but it was limited before the bye.
It was limited 2 weeks before the bye.
Yeah,
he's been dealing with these limited practice situations. Now, the one thing that's positive, aside from it being a 1 o'clock game, so you'll know, is Cliff Kingsbury addressed the gamesmanship part of this answer, saying that, you know, he doesn't have to fully divulge if they're going to play. I think the only thing that you'd be concerned about in a negative way for these two players taking it into Sunday is if the Vegas line moves in the Bears' favor. If the Vegas line moves in the Bears' favor, they know something. You're probably going to see those guys sit. If the line doesn't move and goes the other way, goes in the Cardinals' favor, those guys are playing.
And I'm more optimistic about Murray than Hopkins at this point, just given the fact that one, Hopkins was, you know, not being used as a go-to number one wide receiver anyway before the injury, the fact that hamstring injuries have a tendency to linger, the fact that he's already played through it and suffered a setback, so it's possible that they, you know, may try to be even more cautious. I'm not expecting him, you know, he's more like a low-end wide receiver too for me this week.
Okay, Daniel Jones, rather, is out. Andy Dalton is going to start. Nick Foles is going to be the backup. And a couple of running back situations that we're looking at, Daryl Henderson and Philadelphia. Chris, anything on the Rams and Eagles right now on this Friday afternoon?
I haven't seen anything on Daryl Henderson. The thing with the Eagles guys was Boston Scott was just dealing with an illness, so I actually don't know if he practiced.
He did not practice on Friday.
That's interesting. Yep. That, because the assumption is usually illness, you'll play through it. But we did get, you know, Lamar Jackson sitting out with a non-COVID illness. So that is, I guess, less of a sure thing than we thought. And Miles Sanders has been limited at practice all week.
No, so. He's full.
He's a full participant? Okay.
Yeah, great. So right now it's the depth chart based on who's healthy and available would be Miles Sanders 1, Kenneth Gainwell 2, and then the other two guys. Jordan Howard's almost certainly out. He hasn't practiced all week with the knee injury. But if Boston Scott, that's, you know, something that they could take up until Sunday if he's healthy and he feels ready to go. Just to give you an example comparison, Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed practice on Friday with an illness, but Andy Reid's already said they're playing. You know, so I would anticipate Boston Scott not being ruled out on Friday. That could change 10 minutes after we're done with the show, so I apologize if that's the case. But at this point, Miles Sanders is in a great spot, top 15 upside if there is no Boston Scott and Jordan Howard. I don't care what Kenneth Gainwell's potential role could be. Miles Sanders is getting a ton of work, and it would be dream-worthy if it's Gardner Minshew starting, because then there's less, you know, potential of stealing goal line work.
Yeah. Well, what if it is Boston Scott and Miles Sanders? I still like Miles Sanders quite a bit. I liked him a lot last week, and I think he would have come through if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I think you put them in the 15 to 20 territory as opposed to one guy being in the top 15, you know, scenario.
All right. Yeah. Apple Podcast questions. This one is from Jacob. Full PPR. He's got a trade. He gives a lot of players and gets a lot back. All right. Jacobs, Alexander Mattison, Terry McLaurin, and Jalen Waddle. That's a lot. Jacobs, Madison, McLaurin, and Waddle. Getting back Cooper Kupp and Miles Sanders.
No.
Jacobs, Madison, McLaurin, and who?
Waddle.
For Kupp and Miles Sanders. So you have a limited shelf life with Madison, but it's an awesome shelf life. Waddle has a bye next week, so you don't have him next week.
And this is a bad trade. I don't like it. I'm just going. It's not a good trade. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the best. But
is Sanders an upgrade on Josh Jacobs? I don't think so.
I think it's lateral.
Yeah. So that's what, Madison, McLaurin, and Waddle for Kupp.
He's only got Montgomery and Sanders at running back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but 2 weeks from now, he only has Montgomery at running back.
No, he has Jacobs still.
Yeah, you'd have Jacobs. And we'll see about Dalvin Cook. We'll see how long he's out.
Right.
Well,
it's
Justina
possible
Anderson
Dalvin Cook is
not for us now. She tweeted earlier today that Cook is optimistic of a return, whether that's, you know, something that comes into fruition. No, I'm sorry. She said, according to sources, Cook will return. You know, so if it is just the 2 weeks, you know, think about your roster in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, 21 Damage says, greetings, Hank, Jesse, Skyler, Gus, and Walt.
Never seen that one.
Yeah, I think everyone's seen that one. Half PPR, start 2 out of these guys. Madison, Jamal Williams, Boston Scott, Saquon Barkley.
The first two.
Yeah, I think you're sitting Saquon.
And Boston Scott, yeah. Sean from a town 40 minutes east of Toronto.
Well, actually, can I ask one question?
Yeah, is it which town is 40 minutes east of Toronto?
Is Buffalo 40 minutes east of Toronto?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Javonte Williams or Jamal Williams?
Oh, Javonte to the moon.
Javonte or Elijah Mitchell?
Mitchell.
I'm trying to figure out how high to move Javonte Williams in this, the week of the replacement running backs. Because I've got Williams is 13.
Like Mark Ingram.
Jamal Williams.
It's a good question. Because why so
Melvin
confident,
Gordon hasn't
Jamie,
practiced all week.
Why so confident Javonte over Jamal if Gordon's out?
Better player.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think better player, better offense. Javonte, I would guess Mike Boone will have a bigger role than either of the backups in Detroit. I could see Jamal Williams having 25 touches and that not being like a ceiling for him. Whereas Javonte, I don't know. They do the way they've talked about Mike Boone, at least. I mean, I know they haven't used him much during the regular season, but I would expect he's going to have some kind of role. Whereas I'm not sure that's going to be the case with the Lions backups. So, okay, it could be a 7 to 8 touch difference between the two of them.
It could, but this is where volume versus talent should matter to you. Because you tell me that Javonte Williams is getting 18 total touches and Jamal Williams is getting 25 total touches. I think I just with that alone, I would take my chances on the 18 total touches from Javonte Williams.
Really?
Yes.
How many of those extra 7 touches are catches?
That's the question.
Because
we saw last week. I don't know how much more Jamal Williams is going to get. He had 15 carries and 5 catches. Is he going to do that much more?
You just
more?
Said 25. I was saying hypothetically.
But is he going to do that much more?
Probably not, but
they'll cap it at some point. They're going to have to, use some other guys. He's proven to be largely ineffective.
I mean, that's fine. If you want to go with in his career, when he's been the starter, he's been pretty good. I just think
the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
but you said, he's proven to be ineffective. He's actually proven to be a very reliable starter when the other guy's been out. I don't think if he were on the Packers, I'd start him over Javonte Williams. He's on the Lions, so I'm not going to. But if you're going to guarantee me 4 more catches in a full PPR league or something like that, I might just have to,
I think a lot of it does come down to like last week, Jamal Williams had 20 touches, Javonte Williams had 17. So, not the same gap that we're talking about, but that seems like a fairly reasonable projected touch total for them. The Broncos had like 32 or 34 running back touches last week. So it's, I don't think they're going to do that again.
No, they won. They won big. That's
And it was against a team that teams have run against a lot this season in the Chargers. Javonte wasn't that much better except for the touchdown. Now the thing is, in the Broncos offense, even though it's not a great offense, you would assume he has a better chance of scoring a touchdown than Jamal Williams. So that might be, if you take out the touchdown, it was like a half point fantasy point difference in PPR.
But who has more receptions this year?
I'd guess Javonte.
Yeah.
But
that's not
three more games.
Who's got more receptions, Swift and Jamal Williams or Javonte and Melvin Gordon?
Let's take a look.
Yeah, I would guess that's Detroit easy.
You think it's easy? I don't think it's easy. I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Okay, I'm going to guess it's Detroit 7, by 7. 10. There's no way I'm getting to my Gibbs show on time today, by the way. Okay. I was looking for him on my phone. If I look distracted, I'm trying to find this Odell Beckham news. I think I just saw that Sean McVay expects Beckham to play. So I'll see if I can find that for you.
Yeah, there was the Rappaport report earlier today saying that there is some concern that Odell Beckham may not play. He didn't practice Thursday with the hip injury. And Rappaport's report was his week 13 availability is up in the air. It's not considered a major issue, but it's a concern for this week at least.
Okay, let's get back to the questions. We still don't know what's 40 minutes east of Toronto, but we do know the question is this. Half PPR, pick one in the flex. Tyler Lockett, Boston Scott, Ayuk or Alex Collins?
Ayuk.
Lockett or Ayuk, basically, right?
Yes.
I would go with Lockett.
From Grant, 10-team full PPR, pick a running back, a tight end, and a flex. This says Chuba Hubbard, so we're going to sit him. He's on a bye. So let's start Jamal Williams. Pick a tight end. Dalton Schultz, would you have said Schultz or Pitts?
Pitts.
Pitts.
And then your flex, is it going to be Ja'Marr Chase or Adam Thielen?
Chase.
Thielen.
From Medic Nick. Okay.
Looks like 40 minutes east of Toronto is in the middle of Lake Ontario.
Well, he's very cold this time of year. From Medic Nick, am I insane for flexing Rob Gronkowski? I have Kelsey. I'd be flexing. Oh, yeah, you're kind of insane.
Yeah, you're insane.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Madison, Daryl Henderson. You got to go Madison, right?
It's not insane completely to consider flexing Rob Gronkowski, but not when you have Alexander Mattis.
So one of the Broncos writers just tweeted that the season high in carries for Javonte Williams was 17, which was week 9 in Dallas. And the Broncos averaged 25 rushes a game. In that game where he had 17 carries for Williams, Javonte Williams, he ran for 111 yards, 6.5 yards per carry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's awesome. But here's the problem. They averaged 25 carries per game. It's so unevenly distributed wins and losses. So,
what is it in close losses?
They've only had one, I think. Or did they have a close win? They had a close win over the Broncos. That's almost all of their games are blowouts, one way or the other. I'm sorry, against Washington.
Close loss to the Steelers where they had 17 carries total. They had a close loss to Cleveland where they had 12 carries.
Yeah, that was a weird game. That was the
Thursday night.
The Thursday night, the Ernest Johnson game. They barely had the ball, if I recall.
I guess the 10-point loss would be kind of close-ish, and they had 21.
Right. Okay, from Fender Bender. I play in a very shallow league with my family, and the teams are pretty stacked. It's a 6-team league. Of my four running backs, I played Nick Chubb, DeAndre Swift, and Cordarrelle Patterson last week, and I benched Leonard Fournette. Obviously, I lost, but I don't think I made the wrong play. What is the lesson to learn from last week?
Get more people to play in your fantasy league.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, like this is when I'm in a league where I have that kind of depth, it almost makes me more anxious as the season goes on, because you don't want to lose a game because you made the wrong choice. And anytime you're talking about three guys for two spots who are all within like a 5 to 10 spot difference in the rankings, ultimately, like we do these numerical rankings and we say, well, 13 is higher than 17, so start number 13. But like, it's all probabilities, and it's a lot closer to like a coin flip for a lot of these guys than, you know, the ordinal rankings may make it seem. So I think as you get to this part of the season, if you have the opportunity and you have depth like that, trying to trade from that depth to build a better starting lineup with fewer decision points, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah, and also just learn to live with those types of decisions because they happen all the time. It's just the nature of it. This is from Chat Baby. Guy in my league is whining to the commissioner that Cordarrelle Patterson should be listed as strictly a running back or a wide receiver. He's upset that I beat him while starting four running backs, including Patterson. Patterson, Javonte, Eli Mitchell, and Dontrell Hilliard. I'd like to hear your opinion on this, on the eligibility of Cordarrelle Patterson, Jamie.
I mean, if the commissioner did not establish either at the start of the season or when this became a problem after the first week or two that, you know, he should be either designated in one spot or the other, then you can't do anything about it. You know, so you can't change the rules middle of the season. If your league is allowing him to be used in multiple spots, then that's the way he should be approaching it.
It is weird that, like, when was the last time Cordarrelle Patterson was really like a wide receiver? Because he had 64 carries and 24 targets last season. He was used more like a running back last year for the Bears. I guess
it's true.
Maybe the Falcons listed him as a wide receiver on their depth chart coming into the season. I'm not sure. But it is sort of weird that he was listed as a wide receiver coming into the season, I think.
So be it. It is a shame that I did not think anything of him. I wish I had him.
We all did.
Yeah.
I'm kind of saving my Scott Fishbowl season.
Hey, nice. All right. Is he eligible in both positions there too?
That's wide receiver, and I wouldn't even use him at running back there.
Okay. Time for the fantasy cops. This one is from Elias. I'm too pissed off right now to try to think of anything fun to open with, so I'll get right into it. My 12-team PPR league with high school buddies is entering its 10th year, this season, we decided to hold commissioner elections as people were disappointed with the performance and the involvement of our previous commissioner. The league is typically very competitive and we know what we're doing. I won a very contentious election and was named commissioner to the chagrin of the now former commissioner and a few other core members. They've been making my life difficult at every opportunity, creating difficult situations for me to deal with and complaining about how I handle everything. Our league is very tight. I'm now 6-6 with a 13-point lead in overall points four, but just hanging on to the sixth and final playoff spot. Okay. I have Aaron Rodgers and unfortunately did not have space on my bench to back him up last week, thinking I'd be able to pick one up off the waiver wire this week. Instead, the seventh place team, who's second in points four, and the eighth place team, and the 11th place team, the former commissioner who I'm playing this week, they all collaborated to use their fab to acquire every single starting quarterback off waivers and block me from putting up any points at the QB position this week. This will hurt my points for and cripple my chances of picking up a win this week, both very important factors in the playoff race. Obviously, I should have backed up Rodgers, and teams are entitled to spend their fab how they want, but this really stings as it has a good chance at costing me the playoffs, and it was orchestrated by the former commish, who has no chance to make the playoffs, and the two other league members who have made my life as commissioner as difficult as possible. I apologize for the long-winded email, but I wanted to hear your perspectives on the situation.
First off, go see if Mike Glennon is available and make sure you have a quarterback. So at least you get something there in case you can't resolve this like adults.
Honestly, if you're truly desperate, see if Kendall Hinton has QB eligibility in your league. Cause at least like maybe he hits on a big play and you get something more than nothing.
Or, you know, pick up Gardner Minshew, pick up Colt McCoy. You know, they could be starting this week as well. The second thing I would do is, obviously, you won the election, so the majority of the league clearly likes you. I would communicate with those people that this is what's happening, and if you would like me to still be the commissioner of the league, let alone be in the league, these other three people are no longer in the league. Like, if they're going to do something like that shady, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they need to be penalized. This is the definition of collusion. This is these players conspiring. They're conspiring. So they did it together. If it is in fact true that they did it together, and they probably did, if they all picked up every backup quarterback.
The conspiracy part, yeah. Have you guys ever done this though?
No.
To your opponent?
As an individual, yes.
Yes.
With other fantasy managers of other teams,
With the other people part.
Yeah.
But I've definitely done this in a playoff matchup.
Sure, that's totally fair game. But doing it with other people What, if I have a whole bunch of fab and you need a quarterback and I'm playing you,
And you're picking up every single one?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have absolutely that right.
I did that with kickers in a playoff. I've done that myself before.
Oh, it's a jerk. There's no question.
There's a difference.
It's a jerk move.
If you pick up the kicker, drop him, put him on waivers, pick him up, that's wrong.
No way. Don't do it.
Wait a second.
No.
Really? No. I think this is totally fair.
It's not fair.
Right. So I do dislike the pick them up and then drop them.
Of course.
That's just exploiting a loophole in the rules. But yeah, no, I've done that.
Jamie, what's your beef here? All right, so let's clarify, right?
Because it's
stupid. No, I agree. It's a jerk move.
No, it's not.
Really?
It's strategic. You pick up, you play defense.
But being strategic and being a jerk are not mutually exclusive. Often they go hand in hand.
I just want everybody to know what we're talking about. Scenario here is I'm playing Jamie in the playoffs. His quarterback got hurt, whatever. He needs a quarterback. I've got a lot of fab left. I use all my fab. I pick up four different quarterbacks to keep them away from Jamie. That's a jerk move?
100%.
It's perfectly fine.
I think I wouldn't be upset at all. I think it's a great move. I think it's the benefit that you get for saving your fab. Shame on you for not doing it.
It happens in real life. You'll see there have been times where players have been claimed on waivers just to keep them from another team.
I'm really surprised that you have a problem with this, Jamie.
There's been players that have been kept from other teams, like teams have picked up multiple players from another team.
I can think of one example where the Philadelphia 76ers picked up a player who was waived just to keep them from being signed to another
player.
You can't pick up more than one.
Players.
But, you know, at that point, we're just talking about differences
picking up the best quarterback available when he doesn't need one is fine. Picking up six quarterbacks
is fine.
Is ridiculous.
No, it's fine.
No, it's ridiculous.
It's smart.
It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
It's a jerk move.
It's not a jerk move. It's not a jerk move. It's the benefit of saving your fab. you can't do it on waivers, right? I mean, there's a priority list, so you can't do it with waivers. But if you have saved all your money, then you can use that however the heck you want. It's the collaborating with other teams thing we all agree is bad. I am surprised that you guys think that's bad.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, but you still think it's a jerk move. Right. I'm surprised that you think it's a jerk move.
Being a jerk is fine if you want to be a jerk.
I don't want to be a jerk. I just want to win. Is that the only fantasy cops I have?
Oh. Sometimes you have to be a jerk to win.
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. We know that. Great sports movie. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back,
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's Jamie, you know that, right?
Yeah, White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll read your emails.
Big injury in Pittsburgh.
What happened?
I'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, nice tease. Okay. Big injury in Pittsburgh right after this on Fantasy Football Today.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Jamie teased a big injury in Pittsburgh. And is this a hockey injury, Pittsburgh Penguins?
No, it's actually not an injury, but it's a illness situation that is going to be good for the Ravens' run game, potentially. Cam Hayward did not practice on Friday with a illness, and I don't know if they know it's COVID or not, but doesn't seem like he's going to play, or potential of him not playing.
Okay. And I saw Marlon Humphrey didn't practice on Friday for Baltimore. He's been missing all week from practice, and he's their top cornerback.
Going to turn into a shootout.
Maybe. All right, you ready for emails? Here we go. Jerk Adam over here just reading his jerk emails from Rob.
I can't wait to see how people just obliterate you for this one.
I don't know. I see a very mixed results. I see mixed results here. Some people, you know, saying it was a curse word. It's not a jerk. Laughing my face off. It's not a jerk move. Yeah. I think most.
I mean, it's definitely spiteful.
No problem with that. One person wants us to settle in the octagon. Could do that.
Me and you in the octagon?
Yeah, man. I'm fast.
Let's go.
I run away. All right, here we go. Full PPR from Rob. You're faster than me. You're old, bro.
I'm sorry. Spring chicken.
All right, pick one in PPR.
You haven't used your legs in about 2 years. You haven't moved your house.
It's fair.
I live in a townhouse, Jamie. There are a lot of steps. A lot of steps. My house is a like big stairmaster. Think of it that way. All right, Mooney, Elijah.
If I lived in your house, I'd be turning the lights off on you all the time. Yeah, switches on the outside.
Elijah Moore, Darnell Mooney, or Van Jefferson?
Darnell Mooney.
Yes, it's close with him and Moore, but Mooney.
Okay. From Jeff, 12-team half PPR, Bateman, Myers, or Hilton?
Hilton does have his history against the Texans. He scored against them earlier this season, too?
No, 4 for 80 on 4 yards. Targets, but he just destroys them. I'm going Hilton with the potential.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
RB2, Devontae Freeman or Melvin Gordon if he plays?
For me, it would be Gordon if he plays, but...
You said Devontae Freeman?
Yeah.
Oh, with this Hayward news now. There's let me see exactly who this is. So Alex Kozora, who works for SteelersDepot.com, just tweeted that the record for the Steelers have ever allowed on the ground is 338. that record could be in jeopardy this week.
No, come on.
All right, so who do you think has more broken tackles this season? Adam Azer or Devontae Freeman?
Well, if it were me in the octagon against Jamie, it'd be me.
You just have a broken face.
It is Devontae Freeman by one. He has one more broken tackle than Adam Azer does so far this season. I think he's dust.
Yeah, don't need but to break ankles when you're still... breaking people. Don't need to break tackles when you're breaking ankles.
Yeah. Or breaking the plane of the goal line. All right, anyway, from Chris, Logan Thomas or Matt Breida in the flex?
I would go with Thomas.
Yeah.
I also have Dontrell Hilliard on my bench. Is Hilliard automatically my flex over Logan Thomas and Matt Breida going forward?
Yes.
It's a fluid situation.
That's my assumption for next week, but we'll see what happens with McNichols.
As of today, yes.
Right. Doug says, only way Adam wins is if he doesn't shower for a month or so. Ha. I can do that. Let's see. What do we got? Mark from New Jersey. I am the Christian McCaffrey manager in a full PPR, 3 receiver, 2 running back, 1 quarterback flex league. I have David Montgomery, Boston Scott, and Tevin Coleman. So he could use an upgrade there. I have Keenan Allen, Jefferson, Mooney, DJ Moore, and Bateman. What if I offer DJ Moore for Alexander Mattison? Grade the trade.
That depends a lot on where your team is. If you're fighting for a playoff spot, I think that's an absolute obvious must do. If you're locked into a playoff spot, you could be hurting your team for the playoffs. So I think it depends on your team context, but generally speaking, I would lean towards doing this one.
Is it just more for Madison straight up?
Yeah.
Yep.
I would do it. I mean, you're getting 2 weeks of a potential top 5 running back, and it's no guarantee that Cook comes back. And Cook may come back and re-injure one of his two shoulder injuries. Or what if the Vikings go 0-2? I know it seems a little surprising since they have Detroit. And they decide, you know what, Dalvin, we're not risking it. You're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you got to
do it. There's so much more upside for Alexander Mattison.
And from Ryan, dear Archuleta, Mosley, Miller, and Brown. I don't know what this is.
I mean, Adam Archuleta.
Yeah, I know him. And then but I was like, is this that. Adam, Dave, Jamie? I don't think so.
Who is it? Archuleta what?
Mosley, Miller, and Brown.
So CJ? Who's Miller? Did they all go to the same college?
I don't know. It's possible.
I don't know where Adam Archuleta went to college.
Go to Nebraska?
Think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Figure it out, someone. Pick 3 in non-PPR. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Arizona State.
That's Arizona State. You sure it wasn't Nebraska? Because it really felt like I was right there for a second.
Jamie agreed with you, but...
Yeah, I think Jamie really tricked me. Gave me a false sense of security. All right, pick 3
in non... I'm trying to build you up after your stupid take before.
I don't know. You save your fab. You get to do what you want with it. All right, pick 3 in non-PPR. James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamal Williams, and Mike Williams.
The 3 running backs.
Yeah.
Robbie from Atlanta. I have Jalen Hurts at quarterback on a bye next week. Who would you rather have next week? Heinicke against the Cowboys or Burrow against the Niners?
Burrow.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, it's like we're all excited about Taylor Heinicke. He's done basically what Burrow's been doing. You know, just not a lot of success fantasy-wise. He's been winning games. But 3 of his last 4, I think, or 4 of his last 5 has been like 17 points or less.
Yeah. Burrow, though, first before the bye, I don't know, what was it, 8-9 games or something, scored 22 or more points in all but one game.
Yeah, he had like an 8% touchdown rate, though, was the thing. He had multiple touchdowns in each of his first 8 or 9 games, I think. The one thing, I guess, would be that the matchup against the 49ers probably isn't one where the Bengals will just run away with it and be able to sit on the ball. Mm-hmm. So they probably will have to throw more than, you know, 30 times.
Well, if I'm the Jalen Hurts manager, I definitely want a backup on my team and I'd want it to be Burrow. Okay. From Austin, Dave and Heath have Gage. I have to check and make sure this is correct, but Dave and Heath have Gage as a top 30 wide receiver. Everyone has Pitts as a top 12 tight end. Matt Ryan has thrown for less than 190 yards in 4 of 5 weeks. In 3 of those weeks, he threw for 100, 150 yards. under 150 yards, excuse me. Please explain. I'm debating starting Gage, but I'm very nervous. I have more in Adams on a bye this week.
I mean, I think you've seen kind of what Gage is. He's like an 11 PPR type guy, which puts him in that 30-ish range, given the receivers that we have and the competition, you know, for players around him. At least that's the way I approach. I have him like 36 or 35 in that range as well. Pitts can get you 8 or 9 PPR points and still be a top 12 tight end. And both those guys can do that, you know, for 50, 60 yards receiving and 5 or 6 catches, depending on how it goes. So it's not like Matt Ryan has to, you know, go for 303 for those guys to finish in the spots that we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, I have Gage lower than that just because I don't see much upside. But the logic there generally is correct. Yeah. You know, like if Russell Gage has 5 catches for 60 yards, he's probably going to be the 32nd wide receiver or whatever. So, yeah.
All right, from Peter, I beat my trade deadline by 3 minutes today. Did I rush and make a bad deal? In PPR, I give up Joe Mixon and Keenan Allen. I get Jonathan Taylor and Jamar Chase. That's a good trade. Well, like it's a fair trade.
Mixon is clearly a step down, but not a huge step down. I think you lose the receiver spot, but you know you're getting the best running back in football right now. So that's what you have to the type of players you have to give up to get a player like Taylor.
Yeah, and just I know nobody needs to like sing Jonathan Taylor's praises at this point, but like last week was not a great game script for him, and that was historically, at least in the first like year and a half of his career, the kind of game where Jonathan Taylor wouldn't be great, and he still had 19 PPR points. He's at that level now. Whereas I don't know if Joe Mixon is entirely game script averse.
And it was against the Bucks too, you know? Tore right through him. Okay, from Matthews, sitting at home listening to you guys after having back surgery, I have a tight end dilemma. Rest of season, I need to cut one. Fant, Gesicki, or Freiermuth?
I would cut Gesicki. Because he's on a – oh, no, I'm sorry. I'd probably cut Fant. But if you're just looking at it, Gesicki's got to buy next week.
Yeah.
So, you know, how many people are running to pick him up? But Fant is the worst player of that trio right now.
I agree with both of those.
I'm going to read a couple of comments here, a couple of questions in the chat. Start 2, Sony Michel, DeAndre Hopkins, Elijah Moore, and Jerry Jeudy.
In about an hour, this answer might change. But for now, if it's no Daryl Henderson, Sony Michel is the easy one.
Yep.
And I would start Hopkins. If there is Henderson, I would go Hopkins and more.
I agree with that.
Okay. Full PPR flex, Saquon Barkley or Van Jefferson?
I would go with Saquon.
It's just crazy that this is where we are with him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you go Saquon, but whew.
Flex question, Jamal Williams, Pat Freiermuth, Foster Moreau, or Javonte Williams?
It's between Javonte and Jamal. If it's... I think I would just go with Jamal. It's going to be really hard to sit Javonte Williams, but yeah.
All right. So Jamie likes Javonte better if Melvin Gordon's out. Miles Sanders or Miles Sanders or Boston Scott's going to be Sanders, right?
If both play,
yeah. Yeah.
And Brady or Herbert?
Brady.
Brady if it's Tom, Herbert if it's Quinn.
That's fair.
And next week, Cam Newton against the Falcons or Ryan Tannehill against the Jaguars?
I would go with Cam.
I would go with Cam as of now. I hope that we get Julio Jones back. You're not going to get AJ Brown back, but it would be nice to see Tannehill with something at receiver that will help him. But yes, Cam right now.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening. Thanks for the Fantasy Cop submissions. I'll try to get to some more next week. All right, if you are on...
You should add a bunch of Fantasy Cop submissions and then drop a bunch of Fantasy Cop submissions, and then maybe we can try and figure out which submissions we should answer.
If you are on YouTube right now, I'm about to do FFT in 5 with Jacob Gibbs. Check that out in podcast land as well, Fantasy Football Today in 5. And have a great day, everybody. We will talk to you later on Fantasy Football Today.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.